Supplicate to me, I will accept it.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. My dear respected viewers of Madani Shen, we once again welcome you in our program called Dua. Inshallah Zaydil, today we've got an interesting topic to discuss, that which dua should not be made. Which are those duas we should not make in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be with us from start to end, inshallah, immense amount of knowledge you'll be learning today. And before we proceed towards our topic of the day, let's make few good intentions. My Shaykh Tariqat Amir of Ahlul Sunnah, Hazrat Allama Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri, Damat Barakatuhu Al-Aliya, has given us a beautiful mindset to make good intentions, because it is the saying of the Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam, niyatul mu'mini khayrun min amalihi, intention of a believer is better than his action. In another hadith, Rasulullah alayhi salatu wassalam has been reported to have mentioned, part of that hadith is innamal a'malu bin niyat. So I make this intention, inshallah, I'll present this program for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can make this intention, inshallah, you'll watch this program from start to end for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You'll remember what you learn, act upon, and pass this knowledge on to others too. Alhamdulillah, we've got our Muballigh of Dawat Islami, Muhammad Wasim Abbas Attari with us. Let's go towards him. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
MashaAllah, Wasim bhai, marhaba once again, welcome.
Jazakallah.
To the program. Today, the topic is which dua should not be made. And week before last week, we were discussing the same topic, and we've covered a few points in this regard. And last week when we were talking about this, one point which was discussed, that one should not make dua of death just because of troubles and tribulations and problems, calamities, issues.
Right.
Due to all these issues and grief, one should not make dua of death. Continuing from there, could you please elaborate further onto this topic, inshallah, Zawil, and there are certain du'as which one can make in this regard also. So what is the detail, please?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In relation to the subject that you've just touched upon, Rizwan, where there's quite a lot of detail into it, when we delve deeper into it. One beautiful example you gave, that a person falling prey to hardships, calamities, which can be a test or trial for him, a person should not ask for death in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, ulama, they further elaborate on this point, stating that a person, obviously with the intention of dying on iman, okay, if a person makes such a dua that, Ya Allah, if staying alive for a longer period of time would entail me committing sins, okay, and would involve in my end to be upon disbelief,
okay,
then give me death upon iman. Now, so these kind of du'as, it is permissible for a person to ask, but again, this is for the betterment of the hereafter. Now, the case that you discussed, that a person falls prey to calamities, troubles, tribulations, now this can be a test and trial from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well, upon which we should observe patience, which would ultimately end up being a means of our elevation of ranks. And because of patience, a person at times attains such ranks in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which he cannot attain by the virtue of worship.
Right.
This has also been stated in narrations, that by the virtue of observing patience upon the calamities or hardships that are inflicted upon him by Allah Almighty, a person at times attains such ranks which he cannot attain by the virtue of worship. So a person, if he falls prey to hardships, calamities, etc., he should take this as a means of gratitude, as something to observe patience upon, and he should keep his sight upon the reward in the hereafter that would be accumulating for him upon his observance of patience upon those hardships, those calamities. Inshallah, with this mindset, inshallah, it will become easier for him to refrain from making dua of death, which of course will be detrimental for his hereafter. And on the other hand, observing patience upon the same calamities which befall him from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that would end up being a mean for elevation of his ranks in the hereafter.
MashaAllah. we have understood this point that one should not make dua of death just because of the reason that he is facing problems, calamities, because these problems and calamities will go away. Inshallah, there will be ease after every problem and tension and issues. Alhamdulillah.
After every hardship, there is ease.
There is ease. So this time will pass, which is a hard time. That will also pass. So one should wait for a good time and should not make dua for that particular reason. And the exception, which has also been mentioned. Take further this topic, Wasim Abbas, what ulama mentioned in this regard? Any other point which ulama mentioned that dua which should not be made?
In relation to the same subject, Rizwan, we do find certain narrations where Anbiya Ikram alayhi salam, they made dua for the disbelievers, where punishment should befall them. That is a separate matter, because when Anbiya Ikram alayhi salam, or Malaika, angels, they make any such dua, that is by the izn, by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the prophets, they're infallible. And so are the angels. They don't do anything other than what they've been commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every act of this is a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is performed by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't have the tendency of going against the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a person should not take that as a proof, yeah, or as a reason for doing the same for other people, which inshallah is also our next point that we'll be talking about, that a person shouldn't make the dua of cursing, yeah, another person. So a person should not take this as a dalil, as an evidence, as a proof for doing the same, because the matter of the Prophet is different, and they've been given the knowledge of ghaib, yeah, knowledge of unseen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because of that, they know that whose end has been upon disbelief, and who is definitively a disbeliever, and who definitively is a dweller of hell. So their matter is completely different. We are common people. Our matters and their matters are absolutely different. We cannot take particular and specific acts of Anbiya Ikram alayhi salatu wasalam as a proof for our performance of those acts, or those certain du'as or certain acts that are specific to the prophets.
MashaAllah. One ruling which has been mentioned, Wasim bhai, that do not make dua for another person's death,
Ji,
or to curse him. Or the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has stated, when you hear a man saying, "May the people be destroyed," then he himself is the most destroyed.
Allahu Akbar.
So one should not curse other fellow Muslim brother. And this is something we need to focus. It is stated in a hadith, an alcoholic was once brought to the Holy Prophet ﷺ, and he ﷺ gave the order of the legal punishment to be given to him. Some started, you see, hurting that person, and some started cursing that person. Now, they said, "When you're not embarrassed from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam," and the other said, "May Allah disgrace you." On that, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Do not say this, but rather say, 'O Allah, forgive him. O Allah, have mercy on you.'" So this is again, subhanallah, what a great Rahman, Rabb Ta'ala Azza wa Jalla, that he is there to forgive us. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all forgiving. And Rasulullah alayhi salatu salam's quality or attribute, one of the attributes is that he is also Rahim. So he is talking here that instead of cursing that person, right, you should make dua of rahmah, mercy for that person. So this is something we understand, that one should not curse his fellow Muslim brother.
In the same context, Rizwan, Imam Ghazali rahimahullah, he mentions a beautiful hadith as well over here. In Kimiya Sa'adat, he says that once there was a man in the time of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam who drank alcohol 100 times.
Allah.
Imagine the severity of the sin. He drank alcohol 100 times. Now, one of the companions, Rima Ridwan, he started to curse him.
Okay.
And what did he say? That for how long will his mischief last? His fitna last? For how long would this last? And look at the merciful Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. What does he say? He said, "Do not curse and become an ally to Satan."
Allahu Akbar. Allah.
Now, another thing we can deduce from the saying of the Prophet is that by cursing a fellow Muslim, you become an ally to Satan.
Yeah.
A partner of Shaitan. Now, you see, how bad this would be for a person to know that he is an ally to Satan. Now, if someone says that I'm ally to you, I'm your friend, this would make me happy because, mashallah, you're a pious brother. Now, this would make me happy. This would, you know, if someone associates me with yourself or with some pious people, that would make me happy. But if someone associates me with Satan the accursed, how harmful this would be for me. And in our society, if you think about it nowadays, what exactly happens?
How much? Start cursing people just because they're sinning or
for no reason.
Find them doing mistakes and we start cursing them. It's not good.
That's one scenario. Yeah. When we see someone committing a sin, when someone is committing something indecent, then we start cursing. That's one scenario. But curses are so common. For no reason, we just start cursing.
Yeah.
Like you would have seen people, ma'adallah, they...
Yes, in other words, in simple words, if you say it's a bad dua you're going to give to somebody.
You supplicate against someone.
Yeah.
So this is something very, very, ma'adallah, common. Like some people, ma'adallah, they just swear on everything. Swear words are literally on the tip of their tongue. On everything that they would say, they would swear.
But here in specific, la'nat is referred.
Ji.
And this la'nat, this curse here means someone you are making a dua that he is deprived from the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are further details also on this.
There are further scenarios in it.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, again, previously we were covering the topic of when our dua is accepted, when we stop sinning. And one of the reasons sins are so commonly performed nowadays.
Yeah.
At the same time, I mean, when we're talking about swearing, using swear words, at the same time, curses are so, so common that in the hindsight, without even understanding the meanings to it, we just keep cursing every single person that we know. And we think it's nothing, it doesn't mean anything. So we need to make sure that whilst we utter these sentences, we are very, very careful. As the Prophet wasallam has severely prohibited us from doing so. Yeah. So make sure that we do not curse anyone. And then there are further narrations that also guide us not to swear. And it has been stated in the Hadith, Rizwan way, that when a person curses anything, then that curse that ascends towards the skies.
Okay.
And the gates of the skies, they are locked against that curse. Then the curse, it comes down to the earth. It descends to the earth. And now all the doors on the earth are also locked against that curse. Now that curse, what does it do? It goes left and right. And now what happens is that the thing or the person who has been cursed upon, if that thing or person is deserving of the curse, then that curse will go upon him. Otherwise, if that is not the case, then it will return upon the one who actually cursed.
Allah.
How, you know, frightening this is for those who understand what this actually means. You're cursing.
First of all, we need to have that knowledge, Wasim, right?
Ji.
Where can I curse and where can I not curse?
Indeed.
This is something we need to understand.
Indeed.
We don't have knowledge, we start cursing, right? And end of the day, as we heard from Muballigh of Dawat Islami, it may happen that that curse may return upon the person who actually cursed the doer.
In another hadith, in the hadith of Bukhari, the Prophet ﷺ said that cursing a Muslim is like killing him.
Allah.
You can imagine what comparison has been given in this hadith, that cursing a Muslim is like killing him. What else would be more severe than this?
Respect views of Madani Shannon, very interesting topic. But now we are going to include one segment in our program, and that is Masnoon Dua. Let's include this segment. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Ud'uni yastajib lakum.
Supplicate to me, I will accept it.
Respected viewers, today dua inshallah azza wa jal, we'll be learning dua to be recited in extreme danger. If you are in a difficult situation, you're facing any sort of danger, which dua should you recite in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Inshallah, we are going to learn. Hope you will also see on screen. Allahumma astur awratina wa amin rawatina. This is the dua. In translation, O Allah Azza wa Jal, will, meaning protect us and replace our worry by the feeling of security and tranquility. This is the dua. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from all sorts of dangers, evils, and problems and calamities. Ameen, Bijahin, Nabil Ameen. This is the dua. If you can learn, inshallah, or if you also heard the translation, if you can remember this, inshallah, if you are facing or in a situation there is any sort of danger, so you can make this dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Speaking of this, today we are talking about which duas should we not make in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Curse is also a kind of dua you making against someone. So this is what we are learning. We should not curse someone. We should not make dua to curse somebody. This is not allowed. There are exceptions when it is allowed, inshallah we'll be talking, but in general, it is being condemned and we should not curse our fellow Muslim brother.
We're talking about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how severely he condemned those who cursed their fellow Muslim brothers. Now, another hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, in this hadith, he alayhi salatu wasalam has outlined how a Muslim should be.
Okay.
And this should be enough for us to realize how severe cursing is, along with some other attributes that have been mentioned in this hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that a Muslim is not the one who taunts much, curses, or speaks foul or indecently. A Muslim is not the one who has these attributes.
Okay.
So we need to ensure that if we want to be referred to as accomplished believers, as true Muslims, that we need to refrain from these acts in particular, which in this hadith of Tirmidhi Sharif, the Prophet ﷺ has categorically mentioned that a Muslim is not the one who taunts much, who curses or speaks foul or indecently. Now again, let's take the example of a society, few friends, few mates together, and they start talking to each other. What would be the topic of discussion? We all pretty much know. Now, every now and then, again, indecent talk, foul conversation, taunting each other, mocking each other, and to some extent, cursing each other would also be involved. Now, they should ponder in the light of this hadith how severe it is, and they themselves are depriving them and distancing them from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they themselves are distancing themselves from the outlined description of a true Muslim, of a true believer.
True. See, it was in Sahih al-Bukhari, volume 2, page 291, hadith 2937. Tufail bin Amr al-Dawsi radiallahu ta'ala and complained about his tribe.
Right.
And said, O Messenger of Allah, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, make dua against those. In reply, Allahu Akbar. Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam, what did he make dua? What was the dua he made? Oh Allah, guide those and bring them here. So practically, Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam, subhanallah, taught that instead of what you're saying, this is how we should make dua.
Subhanallah.
The dua of hidayah.
Subhanallah.
And respecting Yusuf Madinshan, another beautiful attribute of Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam, that the way he is raheem and ra'uf upon the believers, this is one of the attributes, and he is merciful because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam rahmah for the alameen. He is rahmatan lil alameen. Respecting Yusuf Madinshan, what we are learning that Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam being rahmatan lil alameen, we can understand from this scenario, the parable Wasim Basbay, when Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam went to Taif.
Right? Subhanallah.
And what, Allahu Akbar,
what situation, what oppressions and hardships he went through.
He went through. Now, there are two different scenarios. If, for example, I'm the person, I do not have power, I do not have enough power to take revenge from somebody. Right? And if I do sabr, I don't think that to be classed as true sabr, or you will even class it as sabr, because I can't do anything. I am helpless, or I am mazloom and oppressed. I cannot take revenge. Other person is more powerful than me. And I keep quiet, and then he is keep on doing oppression upon me. And then it's not the case that I am doing true patience, or I am being sabir, or I am doing sabr. But if I have got power, and I can express my power, and I can take better revenge. And yet I don't do it.
Allah.
This is the next level of sabr.
Subhanallah.
Now here Rasulullah alayhi salatu salam's blessed pure blood came out of the body Allah. And kissed the blessed shoes to such an extent. The people of Taif, Allahu Akbar. The way they stoned. Now, what had happened? An angel comes in the court of Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam. Ya Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam, it's upon your order. Just if you just say that I will, Allahu Akbar, crush this complete valley between the two mountains, be crushed. Now, this was the request of that angel. He was just waiting for the order from Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam. Here Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam has power. He could have cursed and destroyed the complete valley. All the people that were there, they could have been destroyed. He has that power. But yet, Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam is making dua for that nation. He did not curse them. He did not make dua against them. Instead, he made dua
for them.
For them. That if not them, then the upcoming Allah. Generations will come towards Islam.
Subhanallah.
This is the beauty of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. Allahu Akbar. And again, we also remember the accounts of
conquest of Makkah.
Yeah. You see, when Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam entered into Makkah as a subhanallah conqueror and as a fatih. Normally people, when they are fatih, they are conqueror, they enter into that city or place with, you see, wide chest, right, with arrogance. And it is a different way of walking in and entering to that city or capital. But Allahu Akbar, Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam, it is mentioned in the books that he was such down to Allahu Akbar in terms of hijz. His humbleness was to that level that on his camel, Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam was Allahu Akbar. Just in the state of prostration, you can say, he was just touched to the hump of that camel. That's how he entered. This was the hijz of Rasulullah alayhi salatu. And then there was open forgiveness for the people was announced. Those they had oppressed Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam. Those they had oppressed Muslims. Those they had oppressed the family of Rasulullah alayhi salatu
wasalam. Oppression is not the word.
To be honest with you, yeah, they had done. Crossed the limits of...
You know, the one, those who had even gone to the extent of making his blessed princess Sayyidatuna Zainab radiallahu anha face a miscarriage. Those who were bloodthirsty for the Prophet ﷺ's life, those who crossed all the limits of brutalities and oppression, they were over there in his runway. At that moment of time, the Holy Prophet ﷺ had his army with him as well.
He was in power.
And those people who were standing before the Prophet ﷺ, all then they knew that even if our flesh is torn apart today, even if our flesh is torn apart and fed to crows and vultures and dogs, even still this would be justified. And they were waiting for this sentence to be delivered because they, in their minds, they had realized that this is going to happen to us. Yeah. Because what we had done, we deserve even worse than this.
True.
They knew that this is going to happen to us. And they were just waiting for those orders to be instructed by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And they were just thinking whether we'll be fed by the crows first or by the vultures first, or whether dogs are going to eat us first, or the wolves are going to eat us first, or our chopped meat. This is the chopped flesh. This is what they were thinking. But in the midst of all these imaginations that they were lost in, a sweet and beautiful voice breaks the silence. And what does it say? You all are forgiven.
Subhanallah.
Forgiveness is for everyone. Such example cannot be found in the history and will never be found ever again until the Day of Judgment.
True. So, the nutshell, what we actually understand from these accounts, from the seerah of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, that even if you are in power, right, yet you forgive others.
Subhanallah.
If somebody is doing oppression, that you forgive for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if someone deprives you, you give him. And if someone breaks ties with you, you mend relations with. So this is, my dear Islamic brothers, we are talking about the Seerah of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, and we are talking about which du'as should not be made. Now it's time to include one segment. Let's include segment today's message. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Ud'uni astajib lakum.
Supplicate to me, I will accept it.
Amir Muawiyah radiyallahu ta'ala, a great companion of the beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He himself is a companion, and both his parents were honored to also be companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Amir Muawiyah radiyallahu an, there are so many fadail virtues of this great companion mentioned in the ahadith. For example, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam once prayed for him and said, Allahumma ja'alhu hadiyan mahdiyan wahdi bihi. O Allah, make him a guide for others, one who is guided and through whom others are guided. Subhanallah. Who said this? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam made such a dua for Amir Muawiyah radiyallahu ta'ala an. As well as this, we know that Amir Muawiyah radiyallahu an is katibul wahyi. He was one of the blessed scribes of revelation, meaning when the Quran was revealed via Jibreel alayhi salam to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, one of those individuals, blessed individuals, who was responsible for writing down the revelation was indeed Amir Muawiyah radiyallahu ta'ala. And he was a great lover of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And we know this because he had many tabarrukat of Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam. He had the blessed shirt of Rasulullah alayhi salam, the nail clippings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the blessed hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in his possession. And he had made a will that when I pass away, you are to place these things in my grave. Meaning the nails are to be placed on my face and the other tabarrukat are also to be placed in my grave. And this is what happened, alhamdulillah. And this great companion of the Prophet alayhi salam passed away in the month of Rajab at the age of 78. And he's buried in Babu Sagheer, Damascus, alongside many other noble companions, radiyallahu anhum.
Before going to this segment, we were talking about which du'as should not be made. Wasim Basbi, any other important ruling or point you would like to share with viewers of Falisha? Then inshallah we'll continue towards our next segment.
Sure. I think it's very important for the viewers of Madani Channel to understand what cursing actually means.
Literal meaning. And
the literal meaning. Sure. When we say lanat, what exactly does it entail? What exactly does it mean? So linguistically, to curse actually means to repel or to distance. This is the linguistic meanings. And the scholars of Sharia sometimes take cursing to mean repelling and distancing from the mercy of Allah Almighty. Scholars, they take curse into the first one, repelling and distancing from the mercy of Allah Almighty. And at times, they take it to mean repelling and distancing from the exceptional closeness of Allah Almighty, His special mercy, the rank of the foremost elite, the foremost chosen people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are the two meanings in which curse is taken by the ulama. And the first meaning, where it means to be distanced from the mercy of Allah Almighty in paradise, this is specific for disbelievers, Allah, for kuffar. And it is permissible to curse those disbelievers whose death upon kufr is certain.
Okay.
It is confirmed. Such as Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab, Fir'aun, Satan, Haman, etc.
Okay.
So we know about their kufr. That is for certain.
And they died upon kufr.
They died upon kufr. So it is permissible to curse them in the first meaning that we just covered. Yeah. Distance from the mercy of Allah Almighty and from paradise. Now the Prophet ﷺ, as we covered earlier, when they cursed those who they were cursing, that they would die upon disbelief, that is because they were given this knowledge by the bestowal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly is the case with the angels by the malaika. Now the second type that we covered, that a distance from the rank of the foremost elite, that is specific for the sinners, for the transgressors. Now, wherever the word curse has been mentioned in the Quran or Hadith for the sinners, this second meaning is intended over there,
okay,
which we just covered. However, the permissibility of this type is restricted to the general condemned attribute that we covered earlier. So generally, it is allowed and permissible to say like la'natullahi ala al-kathibin, la'natullahi ala al-zalimin, that may curse be upon the liars or may curse be upon the oppressors, so and so forth. But these two meanings that we've just covered, the first meaning is very, very strict and very severe in terms of what it denotes, and that is specific for those whose kufr, whose dying upon kufr is certain. Okay. And the second meaning, being distanced from the rank of the most elite and special closeness in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is specific for sinners.
In general, you can say, but you cannot specifically say for a particular person.
Indeed. You can't pinpoint an individual and curse him, categorizing him in this second definition. But generally, it is fine. But pinpointing someone, the hadith of the Prophet...
His kufr is not certain or sure.
Yes. But the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ is a beautiful example for us, that a person, he drank alcohol 100 times. Yet, Prophet ﷺ stopped his blessed companion radiallahu ta'ala anhu from cursing him. So we need to understand over here this beautiful concept that in general, it is fine, but specifying someone, pinpointing someone, and then cursing him in the meaning of the second type that we just covered, this still should be avoided. So these are the two types of meanings that ulama have mentioned regarding curse. So I hope the viewers of Madani channel can keep these two meanings before them in future. And whenever, because of them being used to it, they start, ma'adallah, using the words of curse for anyone, they bring these two definitions before them, the ahadith of the Prophet ﷺ that we have mentioned, and the condemnation that we've tried to bring before the views of Madani channel. And in the light of that, they can reflect upon themselves and stop from cursing their fellow Muslim brothers.
Viewers of Madani channel, do not curse your fellow Muslim brothers. Because if you just think about the meaning of this curse, that you are praying for someone to be away, distanced from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See, this is enough for someone to tremble that if this dua is accepted, what you're just killing that person. You're absolutely right, as it was mentioned.
The hadith.
Right? Allahu Akbar, if somebody is distanced from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's destroyed, he's ruined. Allah. You just imagine for your own self that if I am distanced from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then where do I stand? I'm destroyed. Because our amal will not help us, to be honest with you. In a sense that we are dependent on our iman, in that sense. Yes. We are depending upon the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Indeed.
These a'mal, good a'mal, they take us closer to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. End of the day, if we are forgiven, we will be forgiven because of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To be honest with you, I don't depend on my good a'mal. Yes, I should do because it is order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, I do. I should do because they take us close to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But end of the day, I'll be forgiven. This is my faith and iman due to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and shafa'a of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if end point is mercy, so why we are praying for someone to be distanced from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I think it is enough to tremble that the meaning is very, very strong.
It's like you're praying for the oxygen supply of the other person to stop.
Astaghfirullah. So respecting those of Madani channel, make sure, especially sometimes mothers, if they are listening to me right now, sometimes they start cursing their children.
Allahu, this is very serious.
When they are very angry, they start cursing the children. Sometimes parents, they start cursing the children. And you never know, any time could be the time of acceptance. We should never ever curse our child. Should not do that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. This program is dua. This is the reason we bring these topics, that we would like to give you awareness, I give you some sort of knowledge, inshallah. Once we know, then we'll implement that. And that's the whole purpose of this program. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us understanding to learn more and then implement in our life. Respected viewers of Madani channel, now it's the time to include one segment in our program, and that is today's personality. Let's include segment. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
ادعوني
أستجب لكم.
Supplicate to me, I will accept it.
Yes, respected viewers of Madani Channel, today's personality, subhanAllah, is Hazrat Sayyidina Muawiyah radiyallahu ta'ala an. Wasim al-Basbain, in the start, if you could give us a brief introduction of this great personality in the history of Islam.
SubhanAllah. Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiyallahu an, the companion of the Prophet, the scribe of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he was amongst very prominent and illustrious Sahaba, companions Ali Muridwan, and many beautiful attributes were possessed by Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiyallahu anhu. And then we find many narrations of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in which he praised Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiyallahu anhu, and he mentioned his excellences. Inshallah, we'll briefly go through them as well. Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiyallahu anhu, as we know, his name was Muawiyah. And we need to understand that there were many Sahaba, many companions who had the name Muawiyah. It is stated there were more than 20 Sahaba who were named Muawiyah. Now, one thing over here is one way we need to understand that certain people, Ma'adullah, they say that the meaning of this name is not good, is not correct.
Literal meaning, yeah.
The literal meaning. However, we need to understand that no doubt the meanings are beautiful, because had the meanings not been good, then the Prophet ﷺ would have changed the name of Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, as was the case with many other Sahaba and Sahabiyat. The Prophet ﷺ changed their names.
Because one other meaning of this, alhamdulillah, that is very beautiful and nice. And again, it was mentioned
indeed
frequently
by the Prophet
ﷺ's beautiful pure tongue.
SubhanAllah. Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiyallahu anhu, his kunya, his patronymic was Abu Abdurrahman. And his titles were very beautiful as one way. His title, Nasirun Lideenillah.
Allah.
Meaning the helper of the religion of Allah. And another title was Nasirun Lihaqqillah, meaning the helper of the truth of Allah. These are his titles. So we can imagine that when he's been given these beautiful titles, how highly ranked he himself would be.
Both of his parents were Sahabi.
Indeed, Sayyidina Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu, and his mother as well, she was also the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam.
He was brother-in-law of Rasul alayhi salatu.
Indeed, he was the brother of Sayyidatuna Ummul Mu'mineen, Umm Habiba radiallahu anha. So from this perspective as well, he was a family member of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and also from the perspective of his lineage. Inshallah, we'll cover that as well in a minute. Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, he was born 5 years before the declaration of prophethood of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in approximately 604 AD. And Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, his lineage meets that of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at Abd Manaf. And what is his lineage? It is Muawiyah bin Abu Sufyan, Sakhar bin Harab bin Umayyah bin Abd Shams bin Abd Manaf. And similarly, is the case for his mother as well, that her lineage also from the side of his mother also meets at Abd Manaf with the lineage of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is her lineage? Muawiyah bin Hind bin Ta'utba bin Rabi'a bin Abd Shams bin Abd Manaf. And because of these lineages as well, Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu is a relative of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he's also brother-in-law of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The sister of Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, Sayyidatuna Ummul Mu'mineen, Umm Habiba radiallahu anha, was blessed with the honor of being the mother of believers, who was blessed with the honor of being a wife of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The attributes, the excellences of Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, the qualities, they're numerous. We can't
comprehend them or discuss them in this very short span of time.
Indeed. But some of them, Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu was very, very humble. Very humble. He wouldn't like anyone respecting him. Once what happened was that Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu went to Sayyidina Abdullah bin Amir radiallahu anhu and Sayyidina Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu anhu. And one of the companions, they got up out of the respect of Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. Now Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, when he saw this, that the Sahabi radiallahu anhu, he got up out of his respect, he said, "Remain seated. Indeed, I've heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that He who likes this for him, the people stand up out of his respect, he should consider his destination to be hell. This was the mindset of Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. Just think about it, that how highly ranked he is. He is amongst the scribes of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. He is a brother-in-law of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Another sahabi is giving him respect, but yet look at his humbleness. That, stay seated. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, what did he say? That the one who desires for him that someone stands out of respect, he should consider his abode as hell. Now further, another beautiful attribute of Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu was his grip upon fiqh, upon jurisprudence, upon his knowledge, his the skills of his literary skills. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he considered Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu to be a faqih, a mujtahid, due to his jurisprudential skills, the grip upon fiqh that he had. Because of this, Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he would consider Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu to be a faqih, a mujtahid. You can imagine who Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu himself is, how knowledgeable he himself is. And he is considering Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu a faqih, a mujtahid, due to the grip he had upon fiqh, upon jurisprudence. Now, Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was amongst those people of Arab who knew how to read and write. There were many few people at that time who knew this skill, but Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was amongst them. And because of this, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam blessed him with a special proximity. And what was that? That he sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam kept him with him to write the revelations. He was Qatibi Wahi, the scribe of Wahi. You can imagine the revelations are being revealed upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. They are being uttered by the blessed tongue of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu is writing them. Just imagine what great station that would be, what great rank that would be, what great place that would be. And then it is stated that after the conquest of Makkah, Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu remained with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in Makkah, and he stayed with him in all the ghazwat, in all the battles as well. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, to preserve the Quran at that time, writing them, that was a very big means. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he at that time, he formed a team of Sahaba Ikram alayhi muridwan. They were comprised of 40 Sahaba Ikram alayhi muridwan to note down the Quran. This blessed jama'ah, this blessed group, that comprised of 40 Sahaba alayhi muridwan. Now, amongst them, a few names were Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, Farooq Azam, Uthman Ghani, Ali al-Murtaza, Sayyidina Amir bin Fuhaira, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Arqam, Sayyidina Ubay bin Kaab, Sayyidina Thabit bin Qais, Sayyidina Khalid bin Sa'id, Hanzala bin Rabi Asadi, Sayyidina Zaid bin Thabit, Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah, Sayyidina Shurhabil radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, etc. Some ulama, they say that amongst all of them, Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiyallahu anhu and Sayyidina Zaid bin Thabit radiyallahu ta'ala anhu were appointed on writing revelations. So you can imagine amongst all the Sahaba, he was amongst this special group of 40 Sahaba, and even amongst them, he was amongst those two Sahaba who were specially appointed only to write Wahi down. Wahi that was revealed upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Then Rizwan made this, there's so many other accounts as well. His simplicity, how simple Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu was. He was Amir at one time, he was the leader at one time, and he was seen touring Damascus upon riding upon a mule, and he was wearing a kameez, upper garment that had patches on it.
Allah.
This was his state. His love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was matchless. Once Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he requested for the blessed shawl, for the blessed hair, for the blessed nails of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam to be placed upon his blessed body after he passes away. And the blessed garments of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he made a will to be shrouded in that. And his blessed nails and his blessed hair to be placed upon his mouth and be spread upon his chest. Look, how greatly ranked Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu is, but yet he is making his hope of being forgiven is upon the sacred relics of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His love for the Prophet alaihi salatu wasallam was matchless. And then when we talk about his love for Ahlul Bayt, that was amazing as well. His love for Ali al-Murtaza karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem. The time doesn't permit me. There's a whole account of how he praised Ali al-Murtaza karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem. And in one gathering, he specially asked the poets to recite poetry in the praise of Ali al-Murtaza karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem. And upon every couplet, he gave them reward of few thousands of dirhams upon every couplet that they would utter in the praise of Ali al-Murtaza karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem. And at the end, he said that Ali al-Murtaza is even superior than all these praises. There's so many accounts, Rizwan, mentioned his love for the Ahlul Bayt, his love for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, his simplicity, his bravery. That is beyond mention. But then, as you beautifully mentioned, that when the time came for his departure, he departed in such an awe-inspiring fashion. That is something for us to take a lesson from. Even at that time, he was content upon the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He passed away in 60 Hijri, according to some narrations, on 22nd of Rajab al-Murajab, where he left a great legacy for the Muslim Ummah, that how should you lead your life. And when he led this life in such a way, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam also mentioned his excellences, where he prayed for Amir al-Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala, know that, oh Allah, make him a Mahdi, make him Hadi, make him the one who guides others, make him the one who is guided. So we come to know from these narrations as well that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he is praying to Allah Almighty that make him the one who guides people and he who is the guided one.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Asim Basbi, you can carry on and we can carry on. The fada'il of Sahaba Ikram alayhi ridwan. Immense. Subhanallah. Allahu Akbar. I think this is enough that he is Sahabi Rasul. Itna hi kafi hai ki wo Sahabi hai. Subhanallah. And respected viewers of Madani Shell, now it's time to include a dua.
Ud'uni astajib lakum.
Supplicate to me, I will accept it.
Let's make dua in the goat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, rabbil alamin. Salatu wassalamu ala sayyidil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. Ya Rabbana. Ya Arhamar Rahimin. Ya Arhamar Rahimin. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين يا رب بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم اللهم أجرنا من النار اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربيانا صغيرا رب اجعلني مقيم الصلاة ومن ذريتي ربنا وتقبل دعاء ربنا اغفر لي ولوالدي وللمؤمنين يوم يقوم الحساب يا رب بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم يا رب الجلال عليكم قولا once again he raises a filthy sinful hands in your court to Allah Ya Rahman Ya Rahim Ya Malikum forgive us. Ya Allah, just one drop of the ocean of mercy. Ya Allah, Malikum Kula will do for us. Ya Rabbi Zul Jalal, Malikum Kula. Just hold on. We need your rahmah. We need your mercy, Ya Allah. In this world and hereafter too. Rabbi Zul Jalal, show your merciful sight upon our du'as. Malikum Kula. Whenever we look back, Ya Allah, whenever we read the pages of our Mama, Ya Amal, book of deeds, full of sins, Malikum Kula. You know, Ya Rabbi Zul Jalal, forgive us. It is bad deeds, turn them into good deeds. Ya Allah, you can do that. Give us tawfiq and ability to do good deeds, to offer salah 5 times, to fast in Ramadan, to do hajj for this world, to give zakah for this world. Give us tawfiq and ability to follow your commandments. Rabbi Zul Jalal, follow the sunnah of Rasulullah, salat wa tasleem. یہ کیوں کہوں کہ مجھ کو یہ عطا ہو وہ عطا ہو وہ دو کہ ہمیشہ میرے گھر گھر کا بھلا ہو کون اس تو حج دس اس یا اللہ شو اس کعبت اللہ یا رب رسول جلال اون سو کم بسی کعبہ محظم اذا اون نکت آئیزی اللہ رب رسول جلال اون سو سی صفحہ مروہ Allah, give us tawfiq to see Maqam Ibrahim.
Ameen.
Give us tawfiq to offer nawafil next Maqam Ibrahim. Ya Allah, give us tawfiq to visit Muzdalifa, Arafat. Ya Rabbi Zul Jalal, then we go to Madinatul Nabi, Zala Allah, Sharfu wa Ta'ala. To ask for the shafa, to present salawat and salutations upon the best of creation. To we go to Madinatul Nabi, Ya Allah, Rabbi Zul Jalal, accept these du'as. Any hard of the du'as, brothers and sisters, right now they are watching. A shower of mercy upon their doors. Except our lawful jais and hajat. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna 'alan-nabi. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu 'alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Sallallahu 'alan-nabi wa alihi sallallahu 'alayhi wa sallam. Salatan wa salaman 'alayka ya sayyidi ya rasulullah. يا الله جمعي رسول الله لبه لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله That's all for today. Respect viewers, keep watching Madani channel. We'll be back next week, same time, same channel. Until then, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
ادعوني استجب لكم
Supplicate to me, I will accept it.